Recording. Hello and welcome to the Strong Girl podcast, where we provide super simple tips and strategies for women of all ages and walks of life to take back control of their health, fitness, and happiness so that they lead more fulfilled lives. I'm your host, Sarah Conlon from Strong Girls Club, and I would like to say a big welcome to our guest, Hannah Small. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is my first time ever being on a podcast, so this is going to be, hopefully I don't say something inappropriate by accident.
Oh, please do. It makes it more fun. And also, if this is my, third podcast, so we're not Joe Rogan yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. I mean, aim for the stars.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get Hannah onto the podcast just because you are literally the busiest person that I've ever met, but you've always been like that. And your ability to cope with everyday stress and what life throws at you is very inspiring to me. And I think that you'd have a lot of strategies on how other women can help to incorporate things into their lives or maybe just deal with the struggles of everyday life a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an awful 3 years, hasn't it? But I think, for me, it's been a very long journey. You know, there's been a lot that's happened. If I really cast my mind back, you know, there's been a lot of trying things that didn't work for me. And then, things that struck right and, you know, developing on that. I am too busy. I am too busy. And I do think, I know one of questions is how do you fit it all in? And I think prioritizing, it's hard because I feel like there was a time as our generation was growing up where, you know, our parents, like our mothers, when they had children, they were staying at home. Yeah. And so we're like, it's not been that long, really, when
it's
you think
only
about
20, women. 30 years.
Yeah,
and now so, women are working full-time or part-time and being full-time mothers.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw that post recently on Instagram that enraged me and also really identified with that, you know, mothers, women are expected to work like they don't have kids and parent like they don't work and look like they haven't had kids and, you know, be nice but not too nice, and it's a lot. I think it's a lot these days,
all those social pressures, right?
Yes, like, yeah, exactly. And I do think at some point when we were growing up, we were told you could have it all. You can have it all somehow. We're not going to tell you how, but you can have it all. You don't have to say no to anything. And look, I guess I have like the three main things. Like, I am married, we've been together for 11 years, I have two children, they're healthy, they're happy, I have a good job. It's a stressful job, but it's a good job. And I have like a fitness, I don't know what to call that, it's not a career, but it's it's substantial, I guess.
It's something that you're working towards, and it's very fulfilling for you as well.
Yes, a hobby.
Yeah.
a hobby that takes a lot of my week. and I guess those are the pillars for me because that's what matters to me. But I do think it is about prioritizing because there's only so many hours in the day. And often, if I'm being honest, sleep is the part that does not get prioritized.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time for, 10 hours. 11 hours of sleep. I have children who think it's acceptable to wake up at 4 a.m. and the only hour I get to myself on most days is between 3:50 and 5:15. And so if I want to work out on a work day, that is when I go to the gym, because otherwise I'd be going after work. And I started Muay Thai recently, and I'm working towards having a fight for that. And they do evening classes. So with some heavy juggling and, compromise within our marriage and family life, I've been able to take that on 2 to 3 nights a week on top of other stuff. But, you know, like that is like, this is a perfect breeding ground for that mother's guilt and partner guilt, if that's what I was letting into my life, because it means I can't put my baby to bed because he goes to bed so early. So Jimmy has to do it. So Jimmy feeds the kids and puts them to bed on those two nights. So, well, 2 to 3 nights, mostly 3. And I think my kids really notice it. So there's that balance. It's like, do I not do what I want to do that I know is going to make me happy, because it upsets me that my kids aren't getting their mom 7 nights a week.
Also, do you think that maybe that's really special that Jimmy gets to also put the kids to bed? And it's kind of reframing. Sometimes it's like, you don't have to do it all.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a really hard thing for me. I'm going to put this out there, but I forgot to Google it. I think I'm a type A personality and I'm a control freak, and I do set really high standards for myself. I always have. And that has not always been like what I have found over the last year is it's not always the best thing, you know, like I obviously have thrived in some ways from having that standard and that type of personality, but also what I've learned is when you set those high standards for yourself, those impossibly high standards in all aspects of your life, it tends to mean that you hold everyone else to an impossible standard too, which can be really divisive, I guess, for your relationships, because at the end of the day, we're all imperfect humans. And if you can't let yourself be imperfect, and if you can't be self-aware and honest about yourself, then it's likely that you're not giving other people that grace as well. So that's been a hard life lesson for me to learn.
But that's just like a bit of yourself that you're exploring, and I think it's impossible for us to be completely balanced, completely well-rounded. Like, we're humans, and humans, exactly. That's our flaw, right? Is that we'll always be lacking in something. So you just said being self-aware.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't be everything all the time, and everyone can't be the same. How bloody boring would that be?
Yeah.
You know, it's okay for you to just like what you like. Like, for example, I hate washing. I hate it. I wish that everyone would just be naked in my house because I would go through 6 loads of washings a week. And I am not the parent. Like, I wish I could be the parent who like goes off to do the washing and then like lovingly folds everyone's clothes and puts them like nicely in their drawers. But I don't, because I'm time poor and I hate it. And so the kids get their clothes shoved into their drawers.
Yeah. But I mean, if your priority was to do that so that your kids then, you know, but then you'd miss out on your Muay Thai or your gym time or your, so again, it comes back to like, what are your highest priorities and how
your priorities. Mm. Yeah. And how they make you feel and what you enjoy, because for example, I have never had that kind of motivation and commitment to yoga. Even though I enjoy yoga, I really like it when I'm doing it and I see the benefits and I feel the benefits, but for some reason I'm just not that inclined. Like, I've always been like martial arts inclined, or very like intense army style workouts and heavy weights and things like that. And that's what I've always needed, that rush and that stress relief, and that intensity and I guess pain factor. But I just don't get that from other things. And that's that thing. Like, if you are trying to make yourself get out of bed at 4 a.m. when you otherwise don't have to, to do something you hate, like, obviously that's not sustainable, especially if you're busy and tired.
And you know what you like gives you energy and what you really enjoy as well. So getting to know yourself and what it is, because I'm exactly the same with yoga. Like, I need to make someone come with me. Otherwise, I'm not going to go, even though I know that the mental and physical benefits, like, I need it. But yeah. I need you to come and drag me to yoga.
We're funny. We're just funny like that. Like, that's just human nature. And I think instead of riling against that, people just need to flow with that. Like, whatever it is that makes you happy, if it's hiking or dancing, pole dancing and walking, or, you know, whatever it is that makes you active, you know, find something that you enjoy, because then you'll be able to make that consistent routine.
Yeah.
You know, like motivation is
impossible.
I just don't, you know, like obviously sometimes you're motivated, but you can't rely on motivation because there's going to be a million times in your life where you don't have it. And so you have to be able to rest back on routine and discipline and you know, enjoyment.
Yeah. And I think routine and structure is, it sounds as though that's what works for you. That's what works for me. I have like the same time and like environment that I go and train every week. Like it's same times, go to the same gym. Like that's my time. And I think that without that routine or structure, like it makes it impossible when it's like, oh, I feel like doing this. It's like, no, you need to fit it in and keep to it like a hair appointment. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mentioned I was a control freak. So I am a very routine focused person. And plus with the job that I have and two small children, like you just, like the reality is that if I don't get it in those time frames that are, you know, routinely put in there, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And that's my decision and choice. So I know if I miss that section, that window, then it won't happen for the day. And like, I've made that decision and I move on. But yeah, that's the only way it works around here. Yeah. I'm sure other parents understand that, or, you know, even when you're not parents, when you're just busy.
Yeah. And I guess like, I love what we've just spoken about. And now I want to make a segue into meditation. And like, just because I think that's super important. So are you able to tell me about like why you started meditating and why you've continued to?
Yes. So it is a bit of a complicated answer because I've had quite a dramatic childhood. I guess I lived in a very broken home and you know, had a fair few traumas between the age of 7 and 20, I guess, 7 and 20, that were never properly dealt with. I didn't have that kind of environment. And whilst I did go to therapy here and there, like just never stuck. And I was required to be very resilient as a small child. And it just developed into PTSD eventually, and all culminated in when I had my first child. I was 5 weeks pregnant and I was told I was going to die because I had septic shock and toxic shock. That was from a mastitis abscess. So that was, you know, I mean, when they said that to me and Jimmy, I didn't even really register it because I was, you know, dying, and I was, you know, on another plane almost. It felt laughable. And it took 2 days for them to get that under control. And I spent the next week having, you know, just so much drugs pumped into me, like all my veins collapsed in my arms, and got to the point where they actually couldn't give me any more. And you know, I had a 5-week-old baby. They used to prop me up and like plop him on me to feed him every 2 hours. And then like, I couldn't even move my own body. I would be like dragged up the bed and then dragged back down to like lie back down straight. It was a crazy time. And I never got to heal from that because my baby actually had hit a bunch of his own health issues, which led to a year and a half of like the most intense sleep deprivation. He woke up every 45 minutes until he was, I think, 20 months old. And it just broke me as a human being. And it didn't do it during that. Like, I think that resilience I developed from that childhood saw me through that.
But, and you're just surviving as well, like not even just for yourself, but for Archie, you know.
Just surviving. And I remember, like, it's not like I was this human being sitting in the corner of a room, like, sobbing. I was taking him to the park. I was getting up at 4:30, exercising. Like, you know, went to the gym 5 days a week. I got back into boxing. We moved to Brisbane. Like, I just had a normal life, but it was ridiculous, you know, just no sleep, no recovery. Like, I had 4 months of weekly drainages in my breast after that because they just couldn't get rid of it. And it was there for a year. afterwards as well. Luckily, no lasting damage. It was just one of those flukes. And then it kind of all culminated after the birth of my second child, where I just couldn't even hear a toy drop without my nervous system. It was like a fire engine had gone past. Like everything was heightened. I couldn't cope with anything. Like everything that Jimmy said to me just made me want to punch him.
That's so burnt out. And that's why we had that conversation the other week. And I was like, I feel exactly the same, but like it's totally different circumstances.
Yeah, just a raw nervous system, like frazzled. Yeah. And just not being, you know, like I don't think our society provides mothers, new mothers, the right environment for healing. Like no one, like I didn't have any support in that area. No one told me, look, you know, your body just had a baby and then you nearly died. Like you're going to have to do like all of this stuff. Otherwise you're never going to be healthy again. Like you need to do all this stuff. No one said to me anything like that. I didn't have any friends who had babies before me or anything, and I had no family where we were living. So it was not a great time in it. And when after my second was 10 months old, I said to Jimmy, like, I just think I'm one incident, like a piece of straw away from a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And I started to investigate ways to help myself. Like I'm a scientist. I run clinical trials through a research institute and a hospital. And I was not open to naturopathy or medication. Like it's not how I was raised. And it was not my, you know,
show me the science
industry. Yeah.
Yeah.
it felt like it didn't mix. It felt like they didn't go together. But I went to a naturopath who was fucking awful. Sorry for swearing. It's just so awful. And you know, this is actually a really important part of the story, because I feel like I could have been really put off and just never gotten better at that point.
Just stopped, been like, yeah.
Yeah, I could have been like, oh my God, like there's no help for me. But I just made the executive decision to like not see that person again. And I, through different avenues and friends, I found another one. Her name is Shannon Stokes. She's up here in Brisbane. And she just, you know, it was so, you know, there's conversations with a professional where you're like, oh my God, you're going to help me. Like you are here to help me. And I feel so relieved. You know, she just explained to me after what I had gone through, why my body felt the way it did, and that it was normal because of, I hadn't been doing anything to help it. And I started taking supplements and like gut probiotics and powders for my gut to try and just calm my nervous system down and help my immune system. And, I also, alongside that, just started meditating, like as in I Googled calming meditation, guided meditation, and felt like, oh, okay, like I feel a little less stressed after this, like it was no big deal. But then again, I found this other woman who has changed my life as well, and her name is Emma Brown, and I found her through 98 Riley Street in Sydney. And she became my personal trainer / like meditation guru. And she really did change my life because she took me right back to the basics of my training so I could actually healthily recover from my second pregnancy, and worked with the sleep deprivation I was experiencing, helped me get strong again, but in a really sustainable way that wasn't further damaging my nervous system. And she opened my eyes to meditation, and that was life-changing is really the only word that I can use for it, because I think I spent 20 years shoving down like all this childhood conditioning and trauma and not knowing what it was and not knowing that I was, you know, suffering from PTSD and all these other things. And I slowly started to unpick it all. And I do mean really slowly, because like for the first 3 months, I was just listening to like relaxation meditation and really like figuring out how you do meditation and being like everyone else in the world who Googles, like, am I meditating right? Like
you're just exploring, like,
yeah, like how do I do, what is it? And I just got more curious, and exactly as you said, like explore different avenues and different people, and I found their words were like balm and like they understood, and sorry, I've got a little bit of a cold, And I was able to unpack some of the inner child stuff and meditation, like, sorry, inner child and the hard knocks mentality that I had that was leading me to just be filled with poison, I think.
I'm just an angry person. Yeah, like that push really masculine energy, like more is best type, and helping you to soften a little bit more to, because as you said, like, you're a multifaceted person, you know, like,
it's a weird person. I feel like people are like, what the fuck, because I really love high-end fashion, much to my husband's dismay. Like, that gives me a joy, it really does, and I really love, like, beauty products and stuff, but I also am obsessed with, like, different fighting styles. I'm a scientist, but I'm also, like, a super mum, like, a very smoochy, like, housewifey type mom as well. But that's one part of something that really evolved and blossomed from meditation, to be honest, because I think my teenage years really broke me. I think I didn't have the right support. I think I was, you know, I looked like a Barbie doll, and I was abused and pushed around and, you know, treated badly and, you know, told that you've got to be pretty but not too pretty and smart but hide it because then they won't like you. And it just really messed me up. And I feel like I needed, like, I've spent the last year unpicking that. And in this, you know, new world where you're allowed to say, like, oh, that's what happened to me and that's assault. But when I was 18, that wasn't called assault, and it was just called boys being boys, and you just ignore it. You know, like, that's, I think a lot of women, I'd be really interested actually to know how many women in our generation have had that sort of, like, light bulb moment of, oh my God, like, something really awful happened to me, but because of the generation we were in, it was ignored.
Yeah, I remember talking about when I was sexually assaulted and how many people, like, when I first started talking about that, the amount of my clients that were like, oh, me too. And it's just like, like, it was kind of normal, I guess, like 20 years ago, or it wasn't like, oh, that's so bad. And now, like, it's like, fuck, that's actually so bad.
Yeah, exactly. And a weird one for me is that I was actually assaulted within a relationship by my partner. And I only just sort of came, like, I knew obviously at the time that something, like, bad had happened, and he was not a nice person anyway, like, it was quite an abusive relationship. But it was like in the last year, through this meditation and unpacking and trying to be really self-aware and really honest about who I am and why I react in certain ways and what pushes certain triggers, you know, I that was one of the things that unfolded, was that I felt like I had let that happen to me by continuing to stay with this abusive person. And it was quite hard on my marriage, because it's just not, I think it's a hard thing for men to understand. And it was a really long time ago, you know, like, my husband and I have been together for,
you were a different years, person. So, that was when you were in Canberra, and then you moved to Sydney. Yeah. And that's when you got with Jimmy.
But, so. He was the boyfriend before Jimmy. So it feels, I guess, like my, you know, your ex, even though you've had a bloody lifetime since then. Yeah. Anyway, I feel like I've digressed. I guess for me, there were so many skeletons in the closet, and I still feel like there are, and continue. I think there may be my entire life. Like, I think this is a life journey for me, but there's also
for everyone.
I think I've, you know, there's some key things that I've gotten from it, is that I will be an eternal student, because I want to evolve and want to push. And that means being comfortable, being uncomfortable, because, like, and that's what I'm experiencing right now in Muay Thai. I've gone from being a boxer for 10 years and being pretty good at it to being so bad at Muay Thai. I get punched so much because I, like, you know, it's a different stance, it's different blocking, like, I am getting, like, I'm very bruised. I tried to break down, like, because we were sparring and I didn't want to do it. I was like, I'm really not looking forward to this, like, I almost just, I want to avoid it. And I was like, this is so interesting, because you wanted to fight your whole life and now you're in it. Now you've got this opportunity. Nothing's holding you back. Now, what's going on here? And it's a big thing for me has been like removing my ego.
Being vulnerable.
Yeah, being vulnerable, removing your ego and saying like, you know, like you have survived things that some people will never experience. Yeah. And you're worried about looking stupid in front of a bunch of
you're such a good boxer as well. So I feel as though for you, I've seen you box, like I know that you're so good at that, but then to be a learner again when you've been so good at something that's similar.
I know. It's really hard. And like, you know, even the boxing journey though, like, you know, my first couple of trainers were like, no, you can't fight. Like you're too pretty. You'll get your face messed up. Like, and it's taken a really long time to find this one gym, this Muay Thai gym, where they're like, we don't care what you look like. We will smash your face in and we don't care about it. Like you're here, you look like everybody else. And like, it's very refreshing for me, but also there's been some push there because I don't like to be bad at things. You know, those, like, I always wanted to be one of those people that goes to a dance class and is terrible at it, but they love it, so they go anyway. I am terrible at dancing. So bad. Like I can't even walk sexily across a room. Like I just don't have that in me at all. And I would love to just be able to go to a dance class and enjoy it, but I wouldn't enjoy it because I suck at being bad at things.
We're perfectionists. Like we're so similar. Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. We've only got 3 minutes left.
Oh shit.
I know. I've enjoyed this so much. I think we'll have to do another one. But what are your top tips for women?
Yeah, I think decompressing. So for me, meditation is huge and letting that evolve in whichever way it goes, like surrendering to that. I eat healthily and I'm trying to reach like athlete level of training, but I also like drink a lot of margaritas with my friends, watch a lot of TV. I have pizza night with my five-year-old every night and I eat like the whole pizza and garlic bread and coconut sugar and treats. You know, like for me, it's all about balance. Yeah. Like you just don't be, if you suck the joy out of life, like what's the point? None of us are getting out of here alive. Might as well have a good time.
Oh, I wish we could have a margarita together.
I could very much go a margarita at the moment. I also think like just let yourself be all the different facets of yourself, even if they don't mix together, because that's okay. You know, don't let anyone tell you that you can't be one way because you're also the other way. That's been the most enjoyable part of the last year, just really allowing myself to be whatever it is that I want.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah. And no boundaries. Like, oh, sorry. I don't mean it like that. No limits.
Yeah.
No limits.
Oh, this has been such a good chat.
Thank you. I feel like we got really, I'm sorry. I feel like I digressed there a lot.
That's fine.
We could do another one.
Yeah. I think we've definitely got more to talk about as well, especially even just shadow work, like looking at inner child, looking at getting uncomfortable and like leaning into vulnerability and uncomfortableness, like if that's a word.
Yeah, it is. And you're totally spot on because I think it won't work if you can't be honest with yourself, if you're not ready to see all of your parts, even if they're bad or you perceive them as bad, then it's not the right time because that you don't get that peace from meditation. Like life is not going to go the way you want it to go unless you can be self-aware and honest like that. It's really confronting, but it is the only way that it works, I think.
Oh, I am going to just stop recording there.